right, so here we are, worldwide live over the internet through BBS Radio. Good evening, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is for you. This is a Monday evening, April 23rd, 2018. Another 1 hour episode of Winfree. You might want to call it the Winfree Hour. And Win had an interesting email out. I think he's going to discuss this tonight about the possible reincarnation of, was he Colonel? Patton is his name, was his name. And he has a lot of lookalikes and same characteristics as our current president, Donald Trump. Take a look at the email. It's pretty interesting also when you go to YouTube and you listen to speeches from Patton. So thank you all for being here. We are sort of early and, well, only 3 minutes. And I'm glad that Armananda is here. And we await for more people to show up here on the conference call, as this is as usual a simulcast with the conference call. And I might play a little tune until the next person joins in on the phone line. Good evening, welcome to the conference call, please. Welcome to the call, please say your name and location. But only if you want to, we welcome you. And I'll press play again. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Hi. Positive greetings from Sedona.
Positive greetings to you, Braden. Welcome and thank you for being here.
Likewise, sir.
Thank you. How is the weather in Sedona?
Right now, just a little breeze is kicking up. I'm looking at the sun, probably about 81.
All right. Nice.
Yeah.
And we had somebody else join in. Welcome to you. Please say name and location.
Hi, this is Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Welcome, Jeannie. Good evening.
Thank you.
For being here. And the next person, we welcome you. Please say name and location.
It's Helen in Virginia Beach.
Hello, Helen. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello, howdy. Good to hear your voice.
Welcome to the next call. Say name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry Brown. Welcome.
Hi there.
Thank you for being here. And
hello, hi.
Hello.
It's Jane. It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane in Pennsylvania. Good evening.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, it's Prudy in North Carolina.
Welcome to the call, Prudy.
Thank you. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Prudy.
Hi, Prudy.
Hi.
And more people have joined in. Feel free to Who's in California?
Bill.
Hi, Bill. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in V, Northern Ohio.
Hello, Don. Welcome.
Hi there.
Hi,
thank you for
Terry
being here.
From Dallas.
Terry from Dallas. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you.
Hi, Terry.
Thank you as well.
Hey, Don.
And welcome to all those that are listening in on online through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here this evening. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to the call, Roger.
Thank you, Heis.
Thank you as well. And again, I say welcome to those listening in online through BBS. Thank you for being here. We can't see you. We cannot hear you. We are glad that you participate with this win-free hour. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say name and location. But only if you want to. We welcome you. All right. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
I just got disconnected.
Welcome back, Dharmananda.
Yeah. I had two lines here, and I put you on hold and came back
disconnected. So, Terry Brown.
Yeah.
How is this free man doing today?
Man?
The free man. I think he's here.
The free man. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, Wynn. And welcome to the next floor. Please say your name and location.
Eric in New York.
Hello, Eric. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Hi.
In case you're talking, we cannot hear you.
I got nothing to say.
All right. However, welcome, Vin.
But I could try talking.
All right.
I guess we should start, okay?
Yep. All right, so I'll mute the phone lines.
Thank you.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Turn the dings off and here we go with the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is April 23rd, 2018. Everybody, everywhere, and I keep wanting to say whole planet healing, but Wynn and Terry in Sedona and everybody everywhere. And I announced tonight that this was going to be an open mic, so everybody could have a chance to talk. Of course, I will unmute everybody, and then there'll be dead silence, right? But maybe I'll ask a question, break the ice, okay?
All callers are unmuted.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
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 Yes. How many of you saw the email I sent out about an hour ago with Trump?
Yes.
No.
No?
No.
No.
Yes.
I'll bet you find it interesting. How many think I made the point?
Not sure if he is or not.
Pardon me?
Not sure if he is or incarnates a patent or not.
Well, you know, you can only make a case And then you have to come to your own conclusion, of course. But how many of you know who General Patton was in World War II?
I do.
Yes.
He was like a war hero. He was under Eisenhower, and he was really, really bold general. And actually, very aggressive general. And kind of somewhat of a braggadocio, okay? And it just so happens that Trump is the spitting image of very close to Patton, okay? And I got really fascinated, and I started looking up Patton, and I started looking up some of his speeches and some of his history, and I came to the conclusion that Trump was his reincarnation. And I just sent an email out of it. Now, I may be wrong. You know, this is all speculative.
What year did Patton die?
I think he died. He died in 1945, and Trump was born in 1946. Okay?
It can't be a reincarnation if he died after Trump was born.
He died in 1945 and Trump was 46. That's a year after Patton died, Trump was born.
Oh.
That's not Dharma. Is that Dharmananda?
Yeah, it's possible, but I don't know if it's true. So.
Well, you gotta look at the email and look at their faces. And then look at the video of Patton talking. And
I heard that too.
Yeah. I mean, there's no proof. Somebody could argue with it. But they're...
Ask the team.
Pardon me?
Ask Ron. They'll find out.
I don't know if they'll tell me, okay? They don't like to intrude and be used to answer a question since I don't have Trump's permission, okay?
Oh.
In other words, they really do honor free will, and I'm free to speculate on something, but that doesn't mean they're going to answer it, okay?
Right.
And, you know, why should that be the final conclusion on it anyway? I mean, I don't like, and they don't like, to be the final conclusion on things. How do I know that I don't have a negative source telling me something? I don't think I do, but if it happens, it's not very often. And, but, nonetheless... It's not from my perspective. There's so much they say which has deep wisdom and understanding, and that you can read it and decide yourself. You know, this is not a thing to say, well, let's believe in the Elohim and everything they say. It's supposed to stimulate you and to make you, I mean, what's the real goal? What are they trying to do? You think they want everyone to follow them and worship them? No, they don't. That's clear to me they don't, and it should be clear to you. But they would like everyone to discover, this is my opinion, they would like everyone to discover the part of the Creator that is inside you and to start operating from that more and more and to learn to get over all of the, what would we say, all one word is a miasm. We all have all these things on us that keep us believing of ourselves in a lower way, you know, that don't allow us to step into our own divinity. And that the connection with the Elohim and the one infinite creator helps us to get the energy from up there and assimilate it into our own being so that we can create in this realm instead of just be a slave to our old patterns. And it's not to judge yourself for being a slave to your old patterns, because that's how you came in, every one of us. We all have patterns. Some of us, patterns are more severe. Some of them are less severe. But we all have patterns, including Terry and myself. And that how to get above our patterns and operate in a more masterful way. That's the way it seems to me. So I find it, I find incidents of reincarnation extremely interesting, because I discover them, and I've discovered them myself, for Terry, whatever, particularly when you know the people who are in a past incident, and you're pretty sure that you're right. Because not only do you know the person and who they were, you know someone else from that lifetime, or you know quite a few people from that lifetime. And for me, I don't consciously remember, even though I am certain of a few of my lifetimes. When I go in my mind, I can't go back and relive them in my mind. But when I study the people, I can identify with it being the same soul. There's too many correlations and similarities. And Terry seems to be able to get flashes of her past lifetimes, more specifically than anyone I've ever met. And, you know, she can recreate. But, you know, she has so many lifetimes, and probably we all have so many lifetimes, that even Terry, for most of her lifetimes, would just draw a blank. It's only lifetimes that she starts getting some indication of, and then she starts looking at it, or something like. Jerry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Why don't you share your experience there?
At first, I just got flashes, like coming in dreams, or when I would close my eyes, I would see beautiful dresses. And I just really enjoy looking at these beautiful dresses. And eventually, more dreams showed up, and more information filled in the blanks. But it took a period of a long time. Like, I started getting those dreams when I was really little. And I didn't even think of it as memories of past lives. You know, it was like just a beautiful picture I saw when I closed my eyes of beautiful dresses, because I was a seamstress that made dresses in one lifetime. But then there was huge confusions.
Do you think you were Betsy Ross?
No, I don't think I was Betsy Ross. I don't.
A I'm just checking. Okay.
I would get these pictures, and I would know how to do stuff. Like, I would know how to sew. Like, I'd be making myself a dress. And my mother would come in and say, you're going to ruin the material. You don't know how to sew. But I had confidence in certain things. Gradually more and more came up, but there was huge confusion. Like during an incident, sometimes the incident was so confusing that I didn't understand while it was happening what was happening. And I got very confused by the incident, and it took a while to gradually, over the years, work my way through some of those flashbacks, because it would seem like it was one way, and then but it wouldn't seem right. And eventually, it ironed itself out, and I would get the whole picture. And then I would understand myself better, too, afterwards. Mm-hmm.
And you also have, I remember we talked about this, like you have flashes of St. Catherine's life.
But yes. And see, it was Daphne that said that, you know, came through with that, I would think, or look at St. Catherine's life. But before that, I had pictures of stained glass windows and churches, and I had pictures of cobblestone roads, walking down cobblestone roads, and dressing in a habit, like
a nun. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you never had any idea what that was associated with, or the time period it was in, right?
Well, like the cobblestone streets, it's like it was reminiscent of Italy, but I never connected it with being St. Catherine and Fiat. When I was Catherine, I was Catherine, and I wasn't St. Catherine. It was sainted after my lifetime. So I didn't look at myself as St. Catherine at all. And I looked at myself as a sinner that really needed to stay in line and bring through the love of God. So I did stuff like, you know, I taught in Sunday school, and I used to stare at the church across the street from my grandmother. It had a big sign at the top that said, God is love. And I used to just go and look at that sign. It was just wonderful to see that sign. My church said, would you like to play the piano for us on Sunday, or would you like to teach Sunday school? And I said, teach Sunday school. So I started at 14 teaching Sunday school.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Whip.
Good. Yes.
Well, on Google News, they got a side-by-side picture of Donald Trump, and they're saying that he was Cyrus II of Persia. And boy, does this picture of the Cyrus II look like Trump. The noses, even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you type up Google, they got a whole deal about it here.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt the guy has been a leader or a military person for many lifetimes. Okay, I wouldn't doubt that. I mean, you know.
Right.
I mean, I think even when he ran his companies, he was kind of acting like a military leader, you know?
Well, you know, yeah, it's just kind of funny. You brought that out, and they have it on the Google. Yahoo.com. There's a whole article about it and pictures and stuff.
They don't have them connected to patent, do they?
Nope. They just talk about Cyrus II. It's actually the Israelis that are saying that from Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Anybody else want to say anything? Did anybody have a transformation during the Kimberly call yesterday they want to share?
Well, I had a whole bunch of energy, really powerful energy, just sort of ignite in me and open up all kinds of channels. And my pain went away, and I felt great.
Mm-hmm.
So that was wonderful.
Yeah. Anyone else?
When?
You know, when... Yes.
I was curious as to how many listeners or participants here have ever had an out-of-body experience.
Now, who is that asking that?
Bill, California.
Bill? Did you say Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. How many?
Yeah, I did. I was going to ask this Wednesday our sources about it, as a matter of fact. Maybe I should wait.
Yeah.
I used to have them all the time.
And who is that?
That's Helen.
Helen. Helen, I think you're half the time out of your body.
I think so too. I've been told that.
you know, it's interesting, and I'm not sure of the answer to this, but when we talk about having an out-of-the-body experience, when people talk about it, it's almost as if they're still in their body, and they leave their body, and the same being that is active in their body is now outside of the body and floating around somewhere, okay? And there's another kind of out-of-the-body experience where you expand and you're still in your body, but you expand outside of your body. And I don't hear people talking about that so much. They talk about where their personalities, identifying self, leaves their body and goes somewhere, not being in your body and expanding. How many of you have had the experience of expanding while you're in your body?
I do.
You do?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Helen, you do as well.
Oh, yeah.
When we go into the silence and the call, we expand. I do at least.
Yeah. Well, I think that's true. And but, you know, sometimes when people first have that kind of experience, they don't even identify it. Okay, it's like they know they feel different, but they don't have the vocabulary to say what it is that's different, you know? So anyone else want to share anything on this?
When? This is Anna. I just came in. And I don't know exactly what the subject is. About one of our previous calls?
Well, why don't you wait till you pick up on something, and then you can come in and add to it.
Well, okay? add subject when you talk. Fine. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Someone else?
This is Bonnie.
Yeah, Bonnie.
Hi. Well, I had the experience of, you know, sort of creating a big healing bubble around myself and then, you know, deciding to spread it out to family and friends and expanding out and out till I realized I was, you know, I was bigger than the planet, and it scared me when I realized, oh my goodness, I'm putting this all out here. And it scared me, and I thought, well, I could be attracting attention to myself. So then, you know, when I got that fear, then everything, everything just drew back into myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a neat experience, though. So I was holding the whole planet in a big, warm hug.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe it. Do you experience that on whole planet healing when we do it?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when we're going around and you're naming off the countries, I never planned on this, but it's almost as if I'm swimming through the continents and I'm going in and out and running along the fault lines, and it's kind of interesting.
Yes.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing.
Well, sure. Thank you.
And anyone else want to make a comment? Now,
I'll make one comment.
Go ahead.
Prudence.
Oh, Prudence. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. When you said expansion, how it feels to me is I don't know where I end and everything else begins.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no definition.
Mm. I can see that about you. You know, it's kind of like when you start to expand and experience an expanded space, sometimes you lose your boundaries, okay? And since you're in 3D, you really are in 3D. You can't assume, because you expand, that it's okay to let everybody else in, because not everyone else may have the highest intentions. So you can expand, but keep your boundaries up. Even when somebody is in your space, it doesn't mean it's good to interact with them, because they may lay something on you that's negative, and then you have to get out of it. I'll bet that sounds familiar, huh, Prudence?
Yeah, yeah, but there's no people around. It's just sort of a space that I'm in it, and I'm not me. I'm everywhere.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. Yeah, it makes sense.
Mm. Years ago, I wrote a song about this. So it was kind of a funny song. I mean, I don't know how I was so smart when I was younger. I guess I was smart, but I didn't know I was smart. But I wrote a song called I Am Everybody, Everybody Is Me. I am everybody, everybody is me. We may be stuck in separate bodies, but we're drinking from the same cup of tea. But in many years.
That's cute.
And then it had all these people coming into a room. I don't want to go into it. But anyone else have a comment?
I would like to put Morgan in the light because she doesn't have a phone right now, and she fell and went to the hospital, and she's not seriously hurt, but now she's home. But I just wanted to put her in the light.
Okay, let's take a moment, and I'll send the light to Morgan. You know, I'm sure Morgan comes from the angelic realm in this realm, and she has a hard time of it. You know, people that come from the angelic realm, and I'm starting to understand the angelic realm now, and I think probably you guys are starting to understand it. It's the rehabilitation center. It's where people are rehabilitated. And there's all these beings that have volunteered to help rehabilitate people. But, you know, they're all individuals. They're all having, you know, their own consciousness. And it's because someone is an angel. It's good to know an angel if you need to be rehabilitated. But, and probably most of us, how many of you need to be rehabilitated?
Yep.
How many of you are afraid to say it?
Yes, yes, most definitely.
Well, certainly. Rejuvenation in order.
Yeah.
I could use one of those angels.
Yeah.
They're probably just waiting for you to ask.
The chances are that you have angels already on the other side working with you. And the thing about it is that you probably won't hear them if they try to talk to you. But the one thing we're probably learning is how to send energy and notice when it comes back to you, okay? In other words, if you have an angelic being on the other side working with you, or more than one, and I mean, it could even be a discarnate old family member or husband or child or whatever, if they're there, if you send them energy and see if the energy comes back, and if the energy comes back, you've started the beginning of a communication. You know, one of the things I have learned in all our conversations with the Elohim is how real the other side is, how there's all this consciousness there, and that we are blocked from it, but we can send energy to it. And they keep saying, "Send it. If somebody died, send them loving energy, and it makes a difference." And it's like you have to assume, unless you're really bad, you know, where no one would ever want to be around you, it's like beings are always trying to create value for themselves. Always. All of you want to create value. When people value you, suddenly you feel different. You feel validated, and your life takes on meaning. And so, it's the same way on the other side. If you can send energy to some of your angelic support on the other side, and you get energy back, you know, they're getting energy back as well. Everyone wants to have energy bouncing back and forth between them and other people, not just conversations. You know, conversations usually don't have much energy in them. You know, they're superficial. But when you have energy going back and forth between you and another being, real energy, it becomes a another anchor point for yourself. In other words, you can feel that energy there, and it's holding a space in your auric field that keeps you anchored at a higher level. Now, I'm just making this up, okay? I mean, this is not from the Elohim, although I've integrated a lot of what they said. And just by coming on these calls, we are creating anchor points for each other and value for each other. And that's why everyone is so happy to hear everyone else come into the call. And so the challenge is to how do you create these kind of anchor points in other people? How do you do it? Well, you're probably learning. Does that make sense to people, what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How many of you feel you need more anchor points in your life?
I'll take them.
What's that?
I'll take them. I'll take more.
You'll take them. So as soon as people start interacting for a higher purpose, you get a very high anchor point. Like, I have a high anchor point with Prudence and with Terry and with Hive because we are interacting for a higher purpose. Now, we never talked about it. We don't have any agreements. You know, everyone does their own thing. But when you create a high purpose for someone else, you immediately create a high anchor point. And that's one tip that I have observed, and I'm sure that's correct. And is Heise there?
Yes.
Does that sound make sense to you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the Elohim and the Ra group and the sources are anchor points that we are all developing to move into that space. I mean, you know, in the course of a day, I can suddenly remember the, for me, the model of this is, can I send energy and does it come back? If it doesn't come back, if it's just like going out and leaving, then there's no reflected energy on it. And especially if you're working in higher realms of light, can you have somebody in your life that you can send energy to? You know, Terry is a great person to send energy to if you're stuck, because she has from my perspective, she has a very pure reflection, high reflection of light that comes back from her. And Terry, she almost has to do this. It validates her existence here from the way it looks to me. And sometimes that aspect of her would drive me crazy because, you know, Terry and I used to go out to shows and sell things together. And when we would go to a show, you know, every minute that you're selling makes a difference in terms of your profit. You know, you have to pay attention to the crowd. And Terry would always start talking to some outcast person, and she'd be engaged in a conversation for an hour, and I'm looking and say, we need to make money. People are passing our booths. Come on. And that was more important to her in the moment than making money, and it would drive me crazy. And now I see it. You know, for her, it's kind of systemic. It's built into her system that she has to do that. Let's try it. Terry, are you there? Terry?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah. Well,
do you remember that?
Oh, I definitely remember.
Talking to all the down, talking to all the down and out people.
Yeah, they come over and camp out.
They flock to your, energy. They somehow yeah. they knew you were like that, and
right.
They say, "Oh my God, I'm going to get unconditional love. I'm going to get
right.
unconditional acceptance."
Right.
And
I
did not
feel guilty because I could see you steaming under your collar.
Right. Well, you never told me you were an angel and you were supposed to do that.
I see.
But in any case, okay, if we all send loving energy to you, will you send it back to us all?
I do that automatically. It's automatic. It's
yeah.
Like my
it's built into your system.
Look out on the world.
Yeah. I mean when we did the call with Kimberly yesterday, you know, Terry was just on at the beginning and said hello and did a little channeling. And then after the call, she said, "Oh, I'm really tired." She said,
"Yeah, it's
I
like tracking with everybody and everything going on with them, totally tracking with them."
Mm-hmm.
The Elohim tracking too. It's like we're not at the end.
Helping to hold the energy for the call and help people process stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay. How many of you have ever done anything like that? I'll bet you have, even if you don't think you have. But how many of you have consciously done that?
Energy?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Certainly. But I one thing that comes back to me is being in the grocery store and seeing the conflict between a mother and a young child. And
mm-hmm.
you're standing back and giving it energy and see the situation turn
mm-hmm.
to normal.
Mm-hmm. Raiden,
the OR and during surgeries, I would send the patients healing.
Mm-hmm. I will bet you that many of you are doing this and you don't even know you're doing it, okay? It happens at an unconscious level. And anyone else want to share an experience of doing it?
I used to send it to the children and the babies when they would cry or fight with their parents. Not the parents. I never thought about the parents. I thought if I could calm down the child, I was good.
Children are easy, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it worked.
Mm-hmm. Children feel energy better than old people. In fact, it's very interesting, and some of you may have observed this, that when you're in the world, you see a very totally beautiful, advanced child with kind of a backward parent, right? And when I look at them, I tell the parent, "You know what? You're learning from your child, aren't you?" And they always say, "Oh, yes, they're smarter than me." And, you know, this is all these indigo crystal children coming into the world now, you know. And they're teaching their parents. They're holding for their parents. Anyone have experience with children and parents like that, or yourself?
A little different, but I had once working at a customer, and like a single mom, but two very young children, where the youngest was like, you know, felt connected with me and just grabs my leg, and while I'm a stranger, you know, coming in the house, doing a little repair, and didn't want to let go of me.
Aww. Yeah, I had a similar thing. One time I was walking down the street and there was a child, a little kid about two, in between his parents. And he just broke away from his parents and ran up to me and started hugging my legs. And the parents looked at each other like, what's going on?
I do the same thing today.
Yeah.
You'd hug Terry's legs?
Yeah, I would. That would be funny. You know, I have a thing with birds or animals, and maybe you should try it. Whenever there's a bird in the tree just singing away, send to them. They turn and look. It's really amazing how connected
right.
they are.
Yeah.
Were the squirrels running up the tree?
We had a quail that kept pecking on the window, looking at his reflection, you know? And he would run up and down. There's a long window that's right on the ground. And he would run up and down from one side of the window to the other, like him saying, oh, this guy is following me everywhere I go. And Terry liked it. I think he's left
yeah.
now, but for about 2 or 3 weeks, this was going on every morning. And peck, peck, peck.
Just wake me up in the morning really early.
And I started to knock on the window back at him. Like if he did one peck, I would do one knock back to see if I could establish communication. But I don't know if I was successful. $6.50. I'm not getting you guys to talk much.
Well, I was going to. This is Bonnie again. I just was going to mention that I'm getting a lots of practice holding the high energy at my restaurant / bar this past year.
Mm.
In, you know, not such an ideal environment, but it's good practice, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
You lift the vibration of the whole place, right? You
Absolutely.
Can feel yourself doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
And people tell me things. They'll sit down and talk to me, and they'll say, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I've never told anybody this before. Mm-hmm. And I hear some interesting stories, and we usually end up with tears and a little bit emotional, and I think it's good. It's very good.
Great.
You guys see auras?
When?
Yeah.
I'd like to bring something up. You were talking earlier about putting out anchor points or having anchor points.
Mm-hmm.
And something I experienced years ago listening to Art Bell on the radio. This
mm-hmm.
has to do just with the power, I think, of all the beings getting together and, you know, putting out energy, if you want to put it that way. But Art tried an experiment years ago. I was listening to him one night, and he said, you know, there's droughts in Texas. And he said, we need to produce rain down there. He says, I want all my listeners to just stand up, face Texas, close their eyes, and think rain. 2 days later, they had flash floods, and he claimed that the weather people couldn't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he did the same thing with Florida because he had forest fires in northern Florida. And he said, think soft rain. And it rained 2 days later in Florida, put out the fires. And
I remember that.
Do you remember that? Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Then one night, he had made an agreement with George Norrie that George wouldn't play around with this anymore. And but one night I was listening, and George had the show by then. And a woman called in, and she said, George, I need your audience to help me. She says, we have a Category 5 hurricane sitting in the Gulf, and it's going to hit New Orleans in 5 hours or 6 hours, whatever it was. She says, I want everybody to just think calm down. By the time it hit land, it was down to a Category 3 from a Category 5.
Mm-hmm. Was that a hurricane?
Yeah.
Which hurricane was that? You remember?
I don't know. It was before Katrina, so it was quite a while back.
Okay, because we had a situation like that with Hurricane Gustav heading towards New Orleans. It was after Katrina. And we were on a conference call. I think it was our Sunday morning call before we did Whole Planet Healing. And when we did it, Terry, you know, did it suddenly started channeling. And they said that they were talking to the consciousness of the hurricane, and they were describing how the hurricane was feeling all this power and was looking forward to its path of destruction. And then they started showing the hurricane, look at all the people praying. And they kept talking. It went on for about 10 minutes. They kept talking to the hurricane. And then they announced that the hurricane agreed that it would reduce its power. And it's letting us, Terry and I, at that time, somebody was on Mount Shasta on the call, and Terry and I were on top of what's called Airport Mesa in Sedona on the call. And they said the hurricane agreed to let them divert some of its power to Mount Shasta and to Mesa. And then right after the call, I mean, I was thinking on that call, oh, there goes my credibility. and then right after the call, I went on the internet. And I've told this story before. I was finding that Hurricane Gustav mysteriously dropped from a level 4 to a level 3, and all indications were, according to the weather, that it was going to get stronger. And it didn't. It dropped. And so at other times, they said they couldn't do it. Like some of the things that are happening are artificially created, that there's a lot of people that have intentions behind it happening. And it's like they have, in this case, there were no intentions behind it. All they had to do was deal with the hurricane. But at other times, there were intentions behind it, and that they would have had a very hard, much harder time changing the outcome, because
it's as if the hurricane wasn't under its own control.
Mm-hmm.
It was spinning around, but it was being set
now
most high.
If we had more people on our call, on our Whole Planet Healing call, we could probably be responsible for a lot more. like one time I asked them, can you guys stop a nuclear weapon from going off? And they said they could if enough people asked. And another time I asked about the radiation from Fukushima. And they said they were already working on diminishing the radiation, but people were not taking the lesson from this. There were many other nuclear plants that would have the same potential for this to happen, and there was no outcry against it, and that they see us going through what they call gross repeating cycles. And so as much as we want to make everything in the world hunky-dory, it's like they can't always do it because of so many people are just apathetic to things, you know?
Else we'll never learn the lesson, correct?
So they learn the lesson. Even if we have to die. What time is it? It's time to stop, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's stop. Jim McCarty is going to be on Whole Planet Healing in a few minutes. And I thank you all for being here and for thank those of you that made contributions. And we are so glad and honored to be part of your experience in this human realm. And on that note,
WholePlanetHealing.com.
Yeah, what time is it right now?
59. So go to WholePlanetHealing.com for the phone number for Whole Planet Healing.
Go to WholePlanetHealing.com for the phone number, and I think this is one of the most important thing we're doing, and we'll see you there in a minute. Nobody's saying goodbye.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Bye.
Goodbye, and thank you.
All right. I like that. Nobody's saying goodbye. It's like the Elohim. We leave, but we do not leave, right? That's what they say. All right. See you in a moment.